Welcome to Health, Wealth and Happiness.
I'm James.
I'm Joe. And today's guest, something a little bit different from someone who is a little bit different. Colourful, eccentric, entertaining, energetic. There's no words to describe this next guest. He's one of the coolest and most positive people I've ever met. Founder, CEO of DXB First, Mauhoob, the Thans podcast. Your guy in Dubai, Kaiser Bulila.
Oh my God, you are full of good stuff, bro. You made me sound like a freaking superstar.
How are you?
I am amazing.
Good. Thank you
for giving me the opportunity to jump on your podcast.
Awesome. It's great having you on, mate.
A pleasure. When I introduced you to James, I said, I've got this guy we need to have on. I said, he's as mad as a box of frogs. I said, and he'll have you smiling all day. So yeah, you've got big shoes to fill, mate.
Trust me, it's on. Let's do it. Tell me, throw away. I'm here.
Okay, so for the benefit of the listeners, who is Kaiser Bulila?
So Kaiser Bulila, it's moi, of course. My background is theater music. I was based in the UK, to be exactly in Basildon, aka Bas Vegas. I owned a theater company there, and we were doing business all over the UK. We were going to Birmingham, London, Manchester, Newcastle. We did it also. We did promotion campaigns for Budweiser, you name it. And my biggest achievements, I'll say, the Olympics 2012 opening ceremony, performing and creating.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, my man. I 6 months before the Olympics, I performed for Barack Obama, the Queen. 2003, I was on a tour with Madonna. My man, yeah, that was back in the days. I'm 41 now. I'm
doing what?
Dance, man. I'm a dancer, choreographer, artistic direction, theater, production, like all of that good stuff. So I did all of Madonna's castings. Can't remember. On the Run album that she started producing in 2002. I was on that. I was on the run with her. Does that make sense? And from after that, the back of that, I used that kind of hype to start my own theater company and all of that good stuff. And what is it, 2013, 14, 15, I owned and we were running the best dance company in the world. We won like 5 world titles. 2010, I broke a Guinness World Record in Stamford Bridge for the most amount of dancers doing robotic dance at one time with Peter Crouch. Sponsored by Dunnan. Yeah, that was back in the day, man. My last professional gig as a professional artist was 2013. Ever since, just focused on business and just found a new direction and new energy. Just and gone international, Hong Kong, Greece, Germany, and now I'm here in Dubai.
Why Dubai? What brought you over there?
You know, because everything that I could have and I wanted to achieve in London, I've done it. It was literally Dubai and Vegas. And Dubai was like, I landed here 2015 by accident. I finished a season in Europe. And I was like, before I go back to the UK, to my daughter and whatever, let me go and check out Dubai. It literally came in. It was very, very hot. It was like by accident, but it was like through. I didn't want to go back to London straight away to come back to normality. And came in here and never left. But it was always in my radar. It was either Dubai or Vegas. Dubai or Vegas. You know, I before I hit 45, I got to do Vegas. But Dubai was just kind of along the way. But now I'm here. I don't feel I need to go anywhere. I'm stuck. This is it. I'm turning this to my Vegas. Khalas. Nova.
You remember the first time we met?
Yes. Oh, my God. I was awful.
So let me paint the scene. So Kaiser and I met on an intensive business course. So we share a mentor, Spencer Lodge, who you know, James. And we were on either a 1 day or a 2 day like intensive course on sales, business, media marketing. And for those that know Spencer, they'll know that, and I am myself as well, he's anal when it comes to punctuality. And I used to work for Spen years ago, to the point where, like 10 years ago, I used to work for Spencer. And if anyone was late to his meeting, he'd send them home. So he'd do a morning meeting. If anyone was late, and I'm talking seconds late, he'd just go, get out. And he'd just send them home for the day. And anyway, so we started at 9 a.m. or whatever it was. Everyone sat around this table. And everyone's got suits on or shirts on. Everyone's got business attire on. Then 10 minutes later, the door just swings open and in walks as his character, larger than life. He's got, I won't call them jeans, they were like leggings. These black leggings, they were that tight. Bright red trainers on. The blazer that I tried finding a photo of it. I've been through all my social media trying to find a photo of the jacket you had on and I can't find it anywhere. But oh, it was brilliant. It was like something like Joe Exotic. And this and the hat that he's got on now. What sort of hat's that? What would you call that?
I don't even know, but it's become the thing.
Anyway, hat, but in red. It was bright red, right? So the door swings open and Spencer went, I basically sit down. So he walks around the table and there's an empty chair next to me. And he walks around and instead of just sitting down and just being quiet, he started a conversation with me, hugged me, and then sat down, took his hat off and put his hat on the middle of the table. And everyone started like, looking around at each other thinking, what's just happened? Anyway, so he carries on his talk, the presenter. And every now and again, he just leans forward and just turns his hat a little bit. And he was doing it all day. He cannot sit still for 5 minutes.
It's good to be different, though, isn't it, Kayser? It's good to be different.
You know, it's kind of part of my marketing strategy. It works. You got to stick out like a sore thumb.
100%.
This is the best bit, right? Then we went for lunch. So we all went for lunch in this Michelin star. We're at this Michelin star restaurant in Dubai, in the Capital Club, which is a members only club in Dubai. Arguably one of the most exclusive places in Dubai, in the best neighborhood in Dubai. And we all sit down. We've got this set menu. Thursday afternoon, we're starting to get busy. And we're all ordering food. And someone, where's Kayser? He needs to order. Turns round and almost he's walking across the restaurant on his hands. Remember that? Walking across the restaurant on his hands, right? Flipped back onto his feet, sat down and just ordered his food as if nothing had happened. And everyone was just...
Fantastic.
I do not remember that. I do not remember that.
And then they all knew about you when you left the business meeting, though.
Oh, we're all talking your brand. For sure. Yeah, it worked.
There you go. Marketing. Love it.
Listen, you got to stick out like a sore thumb. It's very noisy in the social media. You got to do something different and define the norm. Where is the norm? We have to create the new norm, right?
So tell us then, wind back to day one, where this all began. You know, your passion for theatre, acting, dancing. Where did it all begin? Where did you find the passion?
You know what it is? It started for me, it was, 1994. I saw it in movies and I was like, oh my God, I want to see that. I want to do that. And just started it as kind of an amateur. Then I hooked up with some professionals and slowly, within the space of 3 to 4 years, I become really good. And then started winning competition. Then I got picked up and I started touring. Then it evolved. But it was about me as an artist. But then, at the beginning of 2000, I met a young lady, which she's now my ex-wife and mother to my child. Does that make sense? And I knew that industry is very kind of, it's not 100% all the time. And when you age, you're not going to get as much business. So I took on a full-time job. I become a daytime as a chef. Then in the evening, I used to do my theater to build it up. So I wanted to make sure that I would be able to provide for my wife and pay the rent and all of that good stuff and evolve. It evolved slowly. And then I picked up a little following. The only thing I wanted to do, I was based in Essex, in Wickford, but my studios later on to become ambassador, which I call it Best Vegas. Does it make sense? And from that, I wanted a small garage just to teach some kids and just create a sense of community. But because I meant well, and it was 99% passion and 1% business, I ended up with 3 giant studios. And my community have grown so big and the reputation grown. And from there, it become school. Then we went into the theater, we start teaching music. Then it kind of evolved. It was never like premeditated plan. And even I reached a point, was 2003, where I realized that the money coming from dance wasn't enough. And my day job wasn't enough. So I started like small business ventures. So I opened the cafeteria and that was making money. And I opened the barbershop that was making money. And I opened the phone shop and that was making money. And that was those small little businesses were funding my passion. Does it make sense? And from that money, because I had money coming in, you know, Nike is not going to sponsor me. The government is not going to give me any money. So I had to make the money, reinvest it back in. And that's why we achieved the success that we did, because I had small little businesses that I call them side hustles. They actually become money earners. And from there, I evolved. And then I feel like I kept doing that for a long time. I'll say straight up for 13 years, teaching, educating, and building businesses. And then kind of when I came to a crossroad with my wife, I just kind of needed a new energy. Does that make sense? And I was stuck and I dissolved everything. And then I started traveling. That's when I went to Hong Kong and all over the world. And I was like, okay, for me, I know I can do more. I wanted more from life. And that's why I'm here, and I'm planning still to do something in Vegas when I'm 45, which is 5 years from now. But, you know, we'll see where the road is going to take us. But Dubai, when I landed in Dubai, listen, I never looked back. There is so many opportunities. If you cannot make it in here, you cannot make it anywhere, because it's so to a level. If you have a craft and you are authentic, you will succeed. So, yeah, that's pretty much shortened down. But, yeah. Now I run an agency, and when I walked into to March and April, I was going to make a lot of fucking money, bro. I'm sure we can believe this one. But then now is everything has evaporated. Last summer was very difficult and almost lost the agency. It was very, very bad because I was attached to a lot of businesses, and they 6 of my 12 clients kind of dissolved.
It's what, last year?
Last year, yeah. Last year, the summer, yeah. Because
what caused that?
Because think about it, the hospitality here industry and the F&B industry is oversaturated. There is too many restaurants open and reopen, and all the time competition is so much. So it's really survival of the fittest. You know, you always get 30 open, 6 will last after 1 year.
Is it that really? Are those the numbers?
Yeah, with the standalone, because everybody thinks they can open a restaurant. Yes, they can. Does that mean like it's, you know, 8 million dirham investors and blah, blah, blah. Yes, you can. But it's all about surviving the first year and the second year. A lot of them don't survive second year. And I was attached to 6 clients. Even 2 of them were big groups, but they were smart enough to sell those units on to an investor. And then I fell through the cracks and I never managed to chase my money. So literally almost under 1 million dirham I lost last summer. So that nearly broke me. And I wasn't, I had like 1 million dirham. It's a lot of money, dude. Does it make sense? And I still had to pay all of my freelancers, all of my whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So last summer, I should have lost everything, but I worked through it. I was honest with people. People waited for me. People were patient. And so for me, that didn't make me lose my business. This recession will not make me lose my business, because I'm mentally stronger, I'm mentally prepared for the worst. And literally, as I said it to Joe earlier, walking into March, I had 62 employees. That's big. My goal was only 50, like to achieve it within 2 more years. And I got there this year after my last year crisis, because if I go small, I will not be able to recover my debts. But if I go bigger, there is a big chance that I recovered my debts. And I recovered all of my debts from last year. So walking in again to March before the corona and all of this madness, I was in business. I was like, look, I even set up a radio station. I set up a lot of things. A lot of, like, I have, like, ready to make some serious money and getting ready for Expo. But unfortunately, corona, yeah, maybe it will give us a 6 month to a year setback. This is not going to break me for sure. I'm so optimistic. I'm so calm. And people around me looking at me, what is wrong with you? I was like, last summer, I did not lose my business. I'm not going to lose it this year, period.
For you personally, last summer, when it was all looking a bit, you know, on the line, how did you respond? You know, what did you go about to turn it back around?
Dude, initially for the first 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks, I was lost. So I was literally lost, didn't know what to do. My accountant and my office management here looked at each other and they saw the panic in their faces. So I really, really, and they all kind of started almost packing their bags and ready to run. But I just kind of, me too, I melted for almost 3 to 4 weeks. It was very bad. I was looking for an answer, what to do. But then I just realized, you know, just go head first and be honest with people. Picked up the phone. Almost, I have on a regular basis 100 to 100 freelancers that worked for me. Freelancers, subcontractors. So I picked up the phone to each person. Whoever wanted to meet, I went and met them. Here is my bank statement. Here is where I am. Here is what I owe money to. Everybody. And then everybody understood, took a step back, and I started talking to my guys in the office. This is how we're going to do. We're going to be super, super 10 times honest with people. Off the record, of course, we're not going to put it in the social media because it's damaging.
And that must take some real humility to admit that.
No, I admit it any day of the week, dude. I am I'm honest as hell. Does that make sense? That nearly broke me, and it broke me. But the only way we got through it is to be honest. You know, the checks were bouncing into my bank left, right, and center. Like my bank account is like firework. Checks coming in to be cashed, but nothing is coming out. And I was like, yep, whatever it is, we fell into this situation and spoke to people, kept talking to people, and we worked through it. That's it. We just put the head down, and I had to come into the office smiley. But, you know, other thing got me through it is listen to a lot of podcasts, motivational speakers, because those guys give you kind of a different type of guidance. Because as a business owner or an entrepreneur, it's a lonely place. You cannot even sometimes confront your wife with everything. You can, but sometimes for me, I don't want to bring my problems from work to home, because home I see as a happy place. So 9 times out of 10, I sugarcoat everything for my wife and my people around me. Only my accountant, now I learned to let him in on everything, because he is everything. Do you get it? So me and him will have bunch of WhatsApp groups, but there is a WhatsApp group, it's called damage control, or like, you know what I'm saying, period. That's how I got through it. And all of the people last year, everybody's paid, but now we're walking into this year, it presents a new set of problems, but you know what, I'm ready for it. And we have enough funds to get us for another year with no business coming in, because I went really big.
It'd be fair to say, in the situation you found yourself last summer, in it looking all a bit bleak, you know, 99% of people will think, oh, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I've got a retreat here. And you've just failed forward. You've leant back in. What do you put that down to? What is your burning why that got you moving forward again? What's your why?
You know, I'm super motivated. I'm super focused. But at the same time, yeah, I fell into the oblivious. Like, I'm telling you, 3 to 4 weeks, I was completely lost. I was like, but I looked into my wife. I looked into the people that I employed. I was like, this is bigger than me. This is not just about me. I can pack my bags and grab my wife's hand and get the ticket and go back to the UK. That's easy. But that's quitting. That's running away from a situation that you kind of partially created because you trusted these clients for so long. And for me, failure by myself, it's okay. I fail every day, make mistakes every day. But I have so many families attached to me, is the people that were attached to my business that made me fight 10 times harder, and thinking of my daughter and everything that, you know, that got me up and made me fight, to be honest with you. It's the people that are relying on me, the people that are independent on me, that made me dig 10 times deeper. Even, you know, as confident as I appear, I am, we all have weaknesses and whatever they are, and we doubt. And, you know, listening to podcasts and staying motivated, but nobody can help you for it to a certain level, because you got to dig yourself out of the hole that you dug in.
What are you doing now to avoid you sort of falling into that dark place again where you were last year? Because arguably now, from a business point of view, now is even more difficult.
Oh, yeah. Right now, think about it. 100% of my business transaction, there is no business. I know for sure I am not
going to... Just interrupt you, mate. For the sake of the listeners and for James as well, can you just explain what it is that you actually do?
Okay, so basically, for a few years, I'll say almost 8 years, I become an agent. So I place musicians, DJs, dancers in events, bars, clubs, restaurants, anything to do with entertainment or activations. Even the last year, we started doing build-ups. So I did Christmas trees, events and entertainment supplier. That's what I am. A restaurant have the vegetable supplier, have the wine supplier, have the furniture supplier. They have me as a B2B business to supply entertainment for them. So I am an entertainment supplier. So basically, I am a recruiter for entertainment. I done a little bit main jobs, but it's always been 1%. Like I did it as a help to gain leverage, to have leverage over people. Hey, I pay on that job. You got to bring me in on the entertainment gig. So yeah.
And obviously, lockdown, no restaurants open, no bars open means they don't need entertainment.
Yeah. Dude, I am doomed from now till October. No, there will be no income to my business. Period.
So for you, Kezar, right now then, obviously, you know, it's sort of October, November, you're sort of visualizing right now where it may come back to, you know, normality, shall we say. What are you doing right now to pivot, adapt, and move forward in this instance right now?
So in the background, of course, I'm doing a lot of things, talking to all the F&B leaders that I did business with before. So I almost guarantee you 95% of the clients who I had before Corona, I will have them when business starts again. And at the same time, I am creating this network, which is called Thens, which is going to be for business owners, experts to come in and do a show that will be on my platform, you know, that will give me leverage. Does that make sense over them? So, and I'm going to turn my website, which is dxbfirst.com, to like a portal. Blogs, and so what I'm doing is gonna create stuff that's not gonna make me any money now for the next 6 months, but on the subconscious level, when they're ready to buy, they will not go anywhere else, or they will think twice before they go and buy something from somebody else. So I am building my brand every single day to make sure that the people that didn't buy from me before, or they were not my clients before, I will increase, and I have over the past 3 weeks, the chances of them thinking of me by being compassionate, having advice and podcasts and all. So I'm just building the brand, marketing. I'm not going straight in the cell. I'm sending them messages. I feel for you. I hope everything is well. We're even going to start, even we have a side hustle, as I said before, recruitment, putting managers in positions. So I'm going to grow that a little bit bigger to have it on the site to whoever's being affected from my community, my network, and my database, losing their job. We're going to try to put them back into work by using my network, what I already have, because, you know, I know the F&B leaders, I know the business owners. Does that make sense? Here in Dubai, there is potential 12,000 clients available for me, but I have 80 solid clients, 80, which is a really good number to be at, because for me, I will not service more than 100 clients, because that is my cap. And that is what I want to get to. And that is more than enough for us as an agent.
How many venues is that? So I'm assuming some clients have got multiple venues.
So 80 clients, some, I would say probably 130 venues, but okay. They don't all. But you know, my main thing what I started with is not by choice, is but what I wanted to, what I got pushed in to do, because when I came into Dubai, I wanted to do big events. I wanted to work with I wanted to work with the Salad. I wanted to work with the Mac property, blah, 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 blah. But I was one guy with a laptop and with a funny look. Who the hell is going to give me a budget of 3 million dirham over a weekend to spend? No one would. So I wasted the first 6 to 9 months trying to get the big fish. Then in Lixio, sitting in the bar, and one lady of the night, it would become like talking. Does that make sense? She said to me, Kezar, you're a fool. Who the hell is going to whatever give you the opportunity? She said to me, start from the bottom. And that's what I did. I started supplying one DJ in one venue a week. And my first three gigs, I paid the DJ more to do the gig so I can put it underneath my agency, so I can put it in the social media. And from that, it picked up slowly, slowly. Become, literally, I would say, till now, 95% of my business is through referrals and through good work and through me being everywhere and as wacky as I am. Does that make sense? Because the entertainment industry is the easiest to get into and it's oversaturated. So I had to be the way I am, wear the hat, walk in, wearing yellow, purposely. So they go, oh my God, who's that yellow looking guy in the brunch? And it worked for me. Does that make sense? So yeah.
Strong branding. Love it.
Listen, it's something. They remember me all the time. Look, I did not know how he felt about me the first time I came into the Spencer Lodge.
You left a lasting impression, let's put it out. But do you know what? You, again, one of the most welcoming and friendliest guys I've ever met. And like I said, you're always so positive as well. You drew me in straight away, and I can understand how you draw people in. Especially in your industry as well, where I'm guessing you get to meet some real creative souls, in air quotes.
Yeah.
So what makes you happy?
Before, it was literally, first of all, what made me happy to begin with, it was the performance. Does it make sense? The buzz of being...
I can see that.
listen. I got you. That was the first buzz, performing and being on stage and all of that good stuff. Because, you know, when I was a little bit younger, when I was 12, 13, I was really shy kid, really shy. Then, like, the performance brought something in me out. And I don't know, we could call it a shield that I can say something. I'm not afraid. I'm not shy. And I, to a certain level, I don't care what people think of me. You get it? Like, it's good, I'm great. If it's not good, I'm still great. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was the first thing. Then when I started doing the theater, my joy become from teaching and educating those kids. Then after that, my happiness become to building the number one agency in that space. And then it evolved. It kept evolving. I'm like a very ambitious guy. Then I achieved all of that to a certain level. It becomes repetitive. Win, 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 win. What's next? You get it? But then, you know, the end of 2014, I start looking for something new. And now, and I've been lost for a while, from a teacher to just a businessman. It didn't really work. And I'm telling you, like, now, over the last few years, I found my calling to help people, put people in a job. And now it's literally about building a brand for my family and my kids and etc. And just, you know, now it's all about leaving a legacy behind, because I achieved a lot of cool things in the past, but now I'm just like in the middle of a crossroad. Now I know how to do business, but at the same time, I saw what Gary V did, and I see what Grant Cardone did, and that's why I come into Spencer Lodge space and I met you. And for me, like, now I know I can do what Gary does. I know what Grant Cardone do. Does that make sense? Yeah, so now I feel like I'm going into that space, you know, that space of those guys. I don't know what role I'm going to play. I have an agency, but I'm listening to them. I'm listening to people that talk knowledge and experienced in business every single day. So podcasts, it become like, it's the thing that I do every day. Before, I used to perform and dance. Now I listen to podcasts and I want to go into that space. I am automatically in it, but you know, I still have to do 1,000 steps. So I feel that reaching for that next thing, and the process makes me happy and makes me get up in the morning, because I feel I have a role to play in that space.
For the listeners tuning in, for you personally, how you've come through this transformation journey, your own journey.
Yeah.
And granted, it's entertainment. Not everyone's going to be in the entertainment industry. But what biggest three revelations or advice or tips would you give the listeners for their transformation journeys that you've applied yourself to be successful in your life?
Oh, my God. For me, revelations. For me, it's you got to be fearless. And you just got to have to find your callings. Doesn't make sense. You know, in it, there is so many opportunities and there is so many possibilities out there. It's literally find whatever you're good at and just double down on that and make sure that you enjoy the process more than the rewards, because I enjoy the process of these things of building and being involved. The process makes me so happy. To get it, makes me get up in the morning and do 18 hours because it's not work, it's fun. Find that thing that makes you tick, that thing that makes you excited. But of course, you got to be sensible. You got to have a job until you find that thing. You know, having a job could work too. And for me now, I'm just evolving to something new. I know where it is roughly. I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to get there. But at the meantime, right now, I am really, really enjoying the process. And my advice for people out there, find that thing, whatever that makes you happy. You know, it could be writing poems or being a rapper or video maker or whatever it is. And we know with the current times, with marketing sales, direct sales doesn't work as much as it should anymore. So you have to give so much value. Does that make sense? Whatever your expertise lies in, do your best. Just go on the social media and be genuine and put stuff for free to educate people. Whatever is your line of business, there is enough, you can turn that to some sort of form online education, because that is maybe where the future is going to be. So for, you know, revelations, find whatever you want to do and that makes you tick and makes you happy and start it. And if you can, document it and just put it in the social media. Third of all, just be compassionate for everybody around you and just enjoy the process, because that is it. Because when you want to climb Mountain Everest, whatever that is, does that make sense? Is the preparation and the climb is the joy. You know, the peak moment, you would be there like for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Yeah, I've done it. And you're like, you realize you have to enjoy the process. So that's my dish out for the people out there. Just enjoy the process. Find the thing that makes you tick and just start.
Profound. All right, cool. Well, on that note, Keizer, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you for your time.
100%.
Great. Before you on, Keizer.
Listen, we'll do this again anytime. I'm Joe, you're a G.
You're always welcome, mate. You're always a friend of the show. You know that. So before you go, how do our listeners find you?
It's easy. Just Keizer Bulile, KAYZAR.Bulile, BOULILA, everywhere in the social media and on the podcast. It's just that. As long as you have my handle, you can find me. If you want to go to Instagram, you find me there, TikTok there, even Pinterest, Apple Podcast, you name it, everywhere. Literally, Keizer Bulile, as long as you remember that name, it's easy to find me.
We'll make sure we tag all the links in the bio as well.
Boys, you are legends. Thank you so much for the opportunity and honor.
Thanks for listening, guys. That was Health, Wealth, and Happiness with James and Joe. See you next week.